Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 6th day of December, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Crossroads. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Here in the States, it would be Bora Da, which is good morning. Over there, of course, it's Krinhan Da, good afternoon. Kumri and Bith, we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted upon entering the chat room, whether by phone or by computer, and will remain that way until such time as you indicate to me you wish to speak. If you're on a phone, you do that with star 6. If you're on a computer, you press the Ask Question button. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We have a Daily Mail page there. Gets updated frequently. Lots and lots of things are being added to that almost daily. There is a new page for the ladies. It is under construction, not ready for viewing yet. There is nothing posted there. However, the page will be called The Red, which is referring to the red tent. And it's to present current events and different things from a lady's perspective. But anyway, that's an up-and-coming page that you'll be able to view. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, God Almighty, choose today whom you will serve, semicolon, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh, El Shaddai. A lot of people gloss over that. A lot of people don't seem to pay much attention to it, but we are at a crossroads. We're going to talk about a couple interviews I just listened to, one of them with General Flynn. And it's pretty apparent, those of us that have been awake for a while, that we are indeed at a significant crossroads in the history of not only the United States, but the world. And so this verse out of Joshua chapter 24 has new meaning, very appropriate for this day. Choose this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods of your fathers, television, entertainment, drugs, booze, sex, sports, government, institutions, banks, money, gold, silver, you name it. The idols of our fathers are numerous. Choose this day whom you shall serve, the gods of your fathers or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In this case, it would be the invaders, the Jews, who have brought Judaism to the nations of this world and trying to cram their Talmudic beliefs down the throats of us, the followers of the living Christ. And, of course, they've paid their prostitutes, called preachers, in the house, the whorehouses called churches today, to tout the line that the Jews are God's chosen people, which is an abysmal, outright lie. Also to tell you that Christ himself, Messiah, was a Jew. Another lie. These people have nothing in common with us. 90-some percent of them are Turkish-Mongolian. They have not a drop of Abrahamic blood in their bodies, other than the race-mixing part. The Sephardics, which are a very tiny minority, can at least claim to have some Abrahamic blood in them, but spiritually they are aliens, 100% aliens, both culturally and faith-wise. They worship and study the Talmud, a collection of ramblings and rantings of rabbis over the centuries. And based on what current rabbis have been saying, I don't know that you could say they hold much water. But this is the gods of the Amorites, the gods of the fathers who have lied to you. And I pity the young people. I was born long enough to have grown up in a household that had a loving mother and father. Living in the country, I understood what it was like to get fresh air and hard work, grow your own food. So I was blessed way more than I was even aware of. Strict parents who did not tolerate backtalk, did not tolerate laziness, did not tolerate being unkind or unruly. Were we perfect children? Absolutely not. But they held us to a higher standard. I can remember one time as children, we went to a small restaurant in the little town where we grew up, and I guess we were not behaving ourselves too well at the dinner table. And my father said, that's the last time I will take them to a public restaurant. And he wasn't lying. We didn't see a public restaurant until we were teenagers in high school after that day. So when they said something, they meant it. Unlike today where we threaten, we jump up and down and wonder why children just laugh at us because all they have to do is outweigh us and go back to behaving the way they were behaving. We have no discipline. We have no discipline within our families. We have no discipline within government. And we don't even have much discipline in some of our military units. We don't hold anybody accountable for anything. We're basically laissez-faire people. Just do whatever feels good, right? Well, that's a Jewish way of looking at things because that's the way Jews are. They only uphold the law and procedures when it suits them. And when it doesn't suit them, they just ignore it, which is exactly what government at all levels has been doing for the past 100 years. People say, well, the Constitution has been done away with, or they're not listening. They haven't been listening to the Constitution's rules and regulations in our lifetime. For instance, nothing but gold and silver shall be accepted for the payment of debt. Have you ever heard that one before? Okay, when was the last time you were able to pay off a debt, including taxes, in gold and silver coin? Or even money that was backed by gold and silver? Paper money. Most of you, not in your lifetime. It's in the Constitution. It's never been done away with. What about the Constitution when it says no direct tax shall be laid upon the people unless by apportionment? Meaning a direct tax such as an income tax. That's a direct tax on you. Is it by apportionment? Meaning everybody pays the exact same amount? You just take the bill that comes from the government, divide it by the number of adults, and that's the tax bill. You don't fill out forms. It doesn't get progressive. It's not ranked according to your bracket. That's communist. So everybody clamors around about, oh, we have to preserve the Constitution. Why? You're not living under it now. I got a novel concept for you. What about living under God's law the way we were supposed to? I know, you're about ready to faint, going to fall over. Live under God's law, Dan. Are you crazy? No, of course not. But that's the average person today. I want to live under man's law. Does it sound like the old parchments when they talked about our ancestors and they went to the prophets? We don't want Yahweh to rule over us. We want man. We want a king like everybody else. How's that worked out for us? Not very well. Not very well at all. I also want you to know I'm back to one screen today because of things that are going on. So you'll have to bear with me if there's anything in the chat room directed to me, etc. Bob from Las Vegas, Bob Jones, will be our guest on Wednesday night, barring any difficulties, etc. I see somebody in the chat room was asking about that. So, again, as long as there's been no issues, we expect to have Bob as our guest. So choose this day whom you're going to serve. We are at the crossroads. General Flynn was being interviewed by Dr. Dave Janda, who has a YouTube channel called Operation Freedom. That was last night. A very interesting interview. I have to admit, I admire General Flynn quite a bit. I admire Dave Janda. Not that I agree with him 100% of the time, don't get me wrong. But I like the sincerity and the integrity of these two gentlemen. And again, could it be a big psyop? Well, yeah, it's possible. I could be a psyop, right? Not sure what kind of a psyop I'd be, but everything out there you can say that about. So choose this day what you're going to trust. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you're going to believe. Or else just plain give up. Be a nihilist and just say there is no truth. There is nothing. Doom and gloom. We're all going to die. And that's it. Well, that's your choice. Live with it. Or die with it. It's your choice. I choose to stay positive. I believe my father owns this territory. I believe my father didn't put me here by mistake, and I don't believe he put any of you here by mistake. We're here for a reason. I trust Psalm 91. I trust Psalm 149. I trust Psalm 83. I trust Psalm 23 and many of the other ones. They all tell us that we're victorious. I believe the prophets when they said no weapon formed against us shall prevail. That's what I believe. Now, does the enemy have all kinds of things planned? Yeah, that's true. But just because they haven't planned doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition unless you allow it. And you allow it by starting out giving it more faith and more credibility than your own self, your kinsmen, and our father. Okay, Angel says here, Trump is a roller coaster, but this isn't about Trump. Trump is inconsequential. Let that sink in. Trump is inconsequential to what we are facing, which is a communist takeover of the entire world, starting here in the United States. We're the last big domino to fall. Communist China is the billy club of the New World Order, but you got to remember who wields the billy club? The Jews. So everybody wants to point fingers at the Chinese. Most of the Chinese people do not support communism. They don't. But they've never had anybody strong enough to support them to overthrow it. I got a novel concept. Why don't we? Why don't we destroy the communists here in the United States? And I mean literally destroy them. Why don't we destroy them? And then go help the Chinese and the Koreans, the Vietnamese, the Cubans, the Venezuelans, the Colombians. Get rid of the troublemakers. Whether they be drug dealers, communists, socialists, whatever, they're all anti-Yahweh God. They're all anti-good for mankind. How about turning Afghanistan back to the people of Afghanistan and get our soldiers out of there and stop guarding those poppy fields? Why don't we destroy, as John F. Kennedy said, the CIA and the rest of these agencies that do nothing but harm throughout the world? They're not helping us out. They were never even established to help us out from the start. Go read the book about Alan Dulles, John Foster Dulles. The title of the book is The Brothers, basically the secret war of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles. Okay? It tells you how we ended up with these alphabet agencies, mostly due to the shenanigans of Alan Dulles. And who was Alan Dulles working for besides himself? His Jewish lawyer friends. And what were the agencies founded for? To make sure Jews stay in power and protect their money interests in other countries. So from the start, they were never established for our benefit. What on God's green earth makes you think they're doing us any good now? Henry David Thoreau, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. There's a lot said in that simple quote. 1,000 striking at the branches, such as the Federal Reserve, income tax, overpowering government, tyranny, the medical mafia, the pharmaceutical mafia, centralized education, centralized everything, central banks, all branches of evil. Thousands of people swinging at those branches, only one's looking at the root. What is the root? What is the root of all of these evils that we're talking about, called Judaism, Talmudism, Marxism, communism, socialism? You use whatever term you want. They're all going back to the same root, the same group of people. When the hell are people going to wake up? You think it's a coincidence that every time we look up whose money is behind the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the destroying of the Christian heritage of this country, the destruction of the white man, on and on and on it goes. It always goes back to being funded by or directed by Jews. Every single time. We're going to read the quote from Taylor Caldwell's book, The Devil's Advocate, again. Why? Because it's so apropos. She was quite a writer, Taylor Caldwell. If you've never read any of her books, you might want to think about it. But this particular book is The Devil's Advocate. On the day when you again allow abominable men to confiscate your freedom, your money, your lives, your private property, your manhood, and your sacred honor, in the name of security or national emergency, you will die, and never again shall you be free. If plotters again destroy your republic, they will do it by your greedy and ignorant assent, by your disregard of your neighbor's rights, by your apathy and your stupidity. We were brought to the brink of universal death and darkness because we had become the most contemptible of people, an angerless one. Keep alive and vivid all your righteous anger against traitors, against those who would abrogate your constitution, against those who would lead you to wars with false slogans and cunning appeals to your patriotism. Again, the root in every one of these cases is the nefarious, devil-worshipping, anti-Christ Jews. Every time. Let me just check my chat room here real quick. Okay, nothing there. Let Okay, the people calling for new elections are not talking about elections using the same methods that we have now. That would be ludicrous. So they're talking about using paper ballots and having it monitored, etc. But personally, I'll trust what the gentleman told me 10 years ago. This country's gone unless the military steps in. Yeshua could come back and end everything, of course. But barring Yeshua's return, only the military is going to step in. Good military, under the leadership of good men, can stop it. Because the communists have taken over this country. And I'm talking about Jews. Communist Jews, Marxism and communism, Judaism, they're all synonymous terms. They've taken over. Okay, they control your money system. That's how they were able to take it over, which has been for over 100 years now with the establishment of the Federal Reserve, which is a private banking cartel. And you people, ignorant. Well, Dan, what's wrong with that? Why do you think the Congress voted it down less than 10 years earlier? And should the Jewish bankers put their heads together and said, well, it was voted down as unconstitutional, so we're going to have to change the name, put a different sponsor on it, and we're going to come out with our news media saying how much we bankers hate this idea. And that's what they did. And the foolish Americans bought it. That's how we ended up with a Federal Reserve, which gave them complete freedom to manipulate our money system to their advantage. And they've been doing it ever since. You wonder, I love it when people say, Dan, those Jews, boy, they're good with money. Really? They're good with money. How the hell does that, how does that work? They're good with money. If they were good with money, why go through the trouble of debasing our currency? Why go through the trouble of lying and all the deception? If they're simply that smart and good with money, why not do it honestly? Well, the answer is obvious. They're not good. They're evil. They are contemptible. They have no moral compass. They will lie, cheat, steal, murder, assassinate, blackmail, whatever it takes. That's not being smart. That's being wicked. Pray that Malachi chapter 4 comes about soon, or Obadiah verse 18. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These people are corrupt. They have done abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. Hallelujah, Psalm 14:1. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. You want to know why America sucks to high heaven? You want to know why our government doesn't respond? Because the American people are immoral. They believe Jewish fables. Jesus was a Jew, and he just loves everybody, Dan. Bring the little children and all the black and whites and bring them over here. Yeah, he just loves everybody. And we bought it. We bought it. You want to do yourself a big favor? Go to your Bible and take every book written by the Apostle Paul and rip it out of your Bible. Probably the best thing you could do. Now remember, the book of Acts was not written by Paul. Neither was James. So only the ones that are attributed to Paul. Do yourself a favor. Rip them the hell out of your Bible. It might help you shake some sense back into your head, because the modern day churches, including the Catholic Church, rely on Paul's nebulous writing to create a lot of the modern version of what Christ taught. Christ was a man full of testosterone. He was an Adamite. He was a kinsman redeemer. He was here to save his people. Remember, I've come but for the lost sheep of the house of Jacob, Israel. Those are his words. You've got a problem with that? then that's your problem, not mine. It's so simple and so obvious. Who are the genuine people? That's where we get the word Celts, from the Greek keltoi, meaning peculiar or genuine people. Peculiar how? Because we worship a living God, not an idol that cannot speak, move, dream, or help us in any way. Sticks, stones, silver, gold, idols. We're peculiar because our God lives and communicates with us, and he demands to be loved and obeyed. You want the blessings? You got to do the obeying part first. See, our people have it asked backwards. Well, I want God to help me win the lottery, and I want a new house. I want a pretty young girl for a wife, blah, 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 blah. Why isn't Yahweh giving me what I want? Well, you sort of left out the trust and obey part, dude. You're to put him first. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17. It will be in the last days, says Yahweh God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm going to tell you, I'm living that part and have been for quite a few years. Every night, dreaming dreams. All the time. So we are at a crossroads in this country as a nation, but also as a people. And I don't think a lot of people get it yet. Okay? Literally, we're at the crossroads. You know, a lot of people have said, well, we have time, we got a decade, maybe a couple decades. Well, maybe back in the 1980s, okay, back in the 1980s, maybe so, but no longer. You don't have time. This is it. You better pick your ground for making your stand. You better pick who you associate with and align yourself with. It's going to be important, very important, coming down the road. You could read between the lines with what General Flynn was saying with Dr. Janda during that interview. They both were very clear about the seriousness of where we're sitting right now. So for you folks that worry about your 401ks, your retirements, your pensions, your house, your cars, your property, your possessions down the road, if we lose what is about to take place in this country, you're not going to have any of those things. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You will have none of those things. Well, Dan, what are you talking about? Well, let me explain it to you. If you were the student of history that you should be, but most of you men aren't because you're too goddamn lazy to study, you would know what the communists do. They will come in and literally and figuratively rape you and your family. You will have no possessions. You will have no money in the bank. You will have no property. It will be all confiscated and given out to those who are loyal to the commies. That's how they work. If you show too much resistance, they'll take you out in the middle of the street and just plain shoot you. If they think they can turn you, they'll send you to a camp and monitor you. That's how it works. But you'll have none of the idols that you have right now. None. That's how serious this is. This is going for broke, folks. Your enemy is going for broke. I hope you can tell that. That's why the lies are endless. The propaganda is endless. The deceptions are endless. because this is it. They know it. Your enemy knows it. That's why they're going for broke. All the cards are being put on the table. Our side hasn't even shown up for the fight. In fact, our side is only just now beginning to realize that we're in a fight, let alone show up to fight the fight. The enemy's been at work for a long time. There's a lot of innocent blood that's been shed in this land and continues to this day, all over the world, while these nefarious creatures go about the business of ruling the world. Many rabbis and Jewish personalities have come open, have said openly that they are the only ones qualified to rule the world, the Jewish people. That's been their vision from day one. And they look at Jerusalem and that little litter box that they live in to be the center of world government. They're going to rule the world from that position over there. And that's why they wanted it, because it's kind of geographically in the center of everything. And that we, the cattle, the goyim or cattle, we are only here to serve them. And if we don't serve them, if we don't have a purpose for them, we are to be discarded like an old heifer out in the field, or an old horse that can no longer be used to pull plow, taken out into the woods and shot. Is that how you want to look at your family and the people you care about? That some Jew is going to sit back and decide whether your daughter, your son, or your grandchild lives or dies? And if they live, it'll be a living hell being a slave to these monsters. Go ask people that have been subjected to the Jewish porn kings and Hollywood people like Weinstein and Epstein. Go ask the victims of these assholes what it was like, the living hell, to be under their benevolent leadership and rulership. What was it like? Go ask the countries like the Palestinians that were trapped in that litter box called Israel. Go ask them how it's been for the past decades living under Jewish domination. Go ask the military people that I've talked to that have actually been over to Israel and been around these scumbags. Or you can go on believing what you hear and see on television, tell-lie vision, Talmud vision, the image controlled by the beast. It's up to you, folks. Choose this day whom you shall serve. Also, choose whether you want to continue to believe lies and propaganda orchestrated by Jews, for the most part, or will you finally become truth seekers as Messiah demanded that we be? Remember, Messiah was Yahweh in a flesh body. That's the only way it works. People say, well, damn, that's impossible. It's impossible? Let's see, Yahweh created all this, but it's impossible for him to put on flesh and walk amongst us? Please tell me you're kidding, that you can't conceive of that. Only makes sense if he did. Well, Dan, he prayed the Father's prayer. He prayed to the Father. Yeah. Didn't he say, I came as an example? Well, if you're going to teach a bunch of little children, which is what our people are, even up to the age of 80 years old, most of them act like little children. If you're going to teach a bunch of headstrong Israelites how to pray, how would you do it? Well, let's see. Praying to myself. Hallowed be my name, or would you say, Father? Okay, how would you do it? Of course that's how he did it. That doesn't mean it's two separate people. Or else, take the Ten Commandments and throw them away, because the Ten Commandments are very specific that there's one and only Savior, one and only Elohim God, Creator, one, not two, not three, not five, not ten, one. And people say, well, what about the Trinity? Three aspects of the Father, that's all. Three aspects of the singular Creator. And you people got to remember something. You don't have the ability to understand how this all came about. You don't. So why do you pretend? Why do you pretend to be so smart and sophisticated that you can figure all this out? You can't. Your brain is incapable. That's why he said, come unto me as little children. Why? Little children don't need to know how it all comes about. They just need to know what the rules are. And I remember as a child, many a times working on the farm with my father, I'd see something I didn't understand. Hey, Dad, why is that the way it is? And he would explain it very simplistically, not trying to get down to the DNA, to the molecular structure and all the things that we go today in science and everything else, when it's all guesswork for the most part. We don't know. We have theories. Well, it works this way because that's my theory, and it explains it. In theory, do you actually know? Look at what we're discovering all the time, how much we don't know. Only recently figuring out that more calculations are made at a faster speed within your cells of your body, within the little tiny cell. More calculations and more information is processed than in the best computer that man has built. And yet you think we're here by accident. You think you can understand the Creator instead of coming to him as a child. Again, let me know how that works out for you. I choose to come to him as a child. Ignorant. Pathetic. Or the one thing that Paul said that kind of makes sense, I'm but filthy rags compared to the Almighty. Choose this day, folks. If you get a chance to go to Operation Freedom, the YouTube channel, you might want to listen to what General Flynn had to say. I found it to be quite interesting. It fits in with a lot of things I've discovered through other channels. It also fits in with what I was told. Let's see here. Somebody wrote, I don't know who wrote this. Hold on a minute. It's about the Apostle Paul. Let's see if I can get it back here. Oh, my opinion on Paul is he may have been legitimate, but has been mistranslated and misrepresented by kikes who run the church. Even before this message, reading Paul for me was, what the heck is this? Like reading a lawyer's writing. Well, even the other apostles said that. But remember, of all the books in the Bible, Paul did not walk with Messiah. And Paul's writings were letters. The others were testimonies, because they were actually there. They were testimonies. Paul's writings are letters to specific churches at a specific time in history. Let that sink in now. It's also interesting to note that it's the Catholic Church who put together the books in what you call the Bible, the book that they say contains the sacred writings. I don't know about you folks, but I don't trust the Catholic Church as far as I could throw it on any issue, especially with what we've learned in the last 10 years. So you go back through history. Why in the hell would you trust that organization? This organization that found it to be quite convenient to burn people at the stake who challenged their authority. Sounds like a political group to me, which is what a lot of people that went through seminary in the Catholic Church have told me. Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of people off the record over the years that were trained in Catholic seminaries, and they told me what they learned. They told me what they experienced and why they left it, many of them to come to identity. The Catholic Church, according to a guy that grew up in Morocco, told me many years ago, the Catholic Church is a political organization. In fact, in many countries like Morocco, the Catholic Church is the most powerful organization within the country, even more powerful than the local government. Let that sink in. Let it sink in really good, okay? Because we're running out of time. My personal opinion, you've got about 5 weeks. About the next 5 weeks. Maybe less. But I'm assuming it to be about 5 weeks. You better get your shit together, folks, as my father used to say. Within the next 5 weeks. It's that critical. So it's no more looking down the road or what might be in a few decades from now. You're in it. You're living the end of the age. You're living the point of history where Father talked about in Scripture, where you're either going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye to your eternal body as one of his children, or you're taking your place with the goats. And for the folks out there that don't ever read Scripture, let me tell you, there's nothing good about being lumped in with goats. Okay? I'll save you some time. But you're not going to find any Scripture that says anything good about being a goat. Just like Christ had nothing good to say about the Jews, and yet people want to call him a Jew. That's like calling him a devil, because he looked right at him. He said, you do the works of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and so are you. You do his works, you're murderers, thieves, despots, abominations, and yet you've got simpletons in the white race that want to say Christ was a Jew. The apostles and Christ himself never had a good word to say about these people. All through history, including Martin Luther. By the way, for you morons out there, where do you think the Lutheran Church got its name? I'll guarantee you 99% of the people going to Lutheran churches don't know a damn thing about Martin Luther. Or the book that he wrote, The Jews and Their Lies. Imagine that. How many Lutherans do you think have read Martin Luther's own book, The Jews and Their Lies? I'll guarantee you, 99.9% of them don't know squat. Just like most of the other ignoramuses in this world. Or as Taylor Caldwell said in that quote, by our apathy, our ignorance, and stupidity, will be led around by the nose. Yep. Absolutely. Mr. Simon Parks, who's over in the United Kingdom and plans on becoming a U.S. citizen soon, he also put out a recent update talking about the Communist Chinese Party, which is funded and run by Jews. They just put Chinamen out there to make it look Chinese, but it's Jewish control. Jewish money funds it. Just like the Clintons, who took Jewish money and Jewish orders to turn over our patent office to the Chinamen decades ago during their administration. How do you think China all of a sudden came up in the Western world to compete with us? Okay? Angel says Judaism equals communism. Amen. All right? How do you think China all of a sudden was able to produce intercontinental ballistic missiles? Same thing with Korea, who's in league with China. All of a sudden, they got smarter? No. Isn't it strange? It was within about a year of the Clintons turning over our database of patents to the Chinese, basically opening the store doors and saying, here, have a free-for-all, take whatever you want. Treason. The Clintons are traitors, as well as many others in Washington, D.C. Truly the swamp. Why in the hell would you want to go back to the form of government that we've had that led us to where we are today? Why would you want to do that? I'm curious. Why? Well, damn, we have a, yeah, you have a constitution that they've been ignoring as long as you've been walking this earth. They've been ignoring it for about 150 years. Okay? They only bring it up so you think that you still have some sort of protection. Okay? How about the Second Amendment? Do they obey it? Do you freely walk about with your protection and not have to worry about being harassed or thrown in jail? No. So they're not obeying it. Can you speak freely on the platforms and have freedom of speech? No. They don't obey it. Are you safe and secure in your home and your papers against unreasonable search and seizure? Answer? No. Why not take the Constitution out in the street and burn it? Because when you put ungodly, immoral people in power, it's called a cacistocracy. You can have any form of paperwork you want. They don't give a damn. This is a revolution to take the wicked and put them in the furnace. Biblically speaking, destroy them and establish new government. And to me, that means Yahweh's government. That's why Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22 makes it very clear. He is our Savior. Why? How is he going to be our Savior? When we come back to him, make him king and obey his law. As William Blackstone very clearly stated in his commentaries. If you don't know who William Blackstone is, shame on you. Shame on you. One of the greatest jurists ever. And he made it very clear. Any law created by any body of men that runs counter to our Father's law is no law. It's not even debatable. It has no power, no effect, must not be enforced if it violates the laws of the living God. Murdering a child in the womb is murder, punishable by death. Yeah, that's right. So the people out there that go to work every day and cut babies up for a living, let me know how it works out for you when our Father decides to bring his kingdom upon this earth, the new Jerusalem, which will mean his law upon the earth. And we, who survive through this, his remnant, will be the administrators of that law. This brings in Psalm 149. It's the honor of all the saints to do what? Execute the judgments written upon the peoples and the nations. Hallelujah. That's our honor. And yes, I will consider it an honor to take the people in the abortion clinics out and execute them. Yes, when that day comes, that will be an honor. It'll be an honor to take the transsexuals and perverts out and execute them in public for violation of God's law. An honor. It'll be an honor to take these devil-worshipping Jews into the public arena and hold trial. And as soon as they're found guilty of pedophilia, hanging, murder, hanging, espionage, hanging, treason, hanging, homosexuality, hanging, that will be an honor. Why? Because that's how you clean up the world. The filth and degeneracy that we live in today was created when we allowed them to convince us that it was okay because of their control of the media, control of the churches, control of the government, control of our learning institutions. And there will be no more public schools, by the way. None. Parents are going to learn how to be parents again. It's your job to train up your child. It's not the state's job. That's under communism. It's your job, mom and dad. If you don't want to be parents, then you might think about keeping your legs together, ladies. And you men might think about what you're doing before you do it. So if you don't want to raise up a child, then don't create the child. It's as simple as that. It's in the scriptures. When you enter that woman, you're creating the marriage act. Did you know that, guys? Yeah. Now, guys are polygamous. Okay? It's in their DNA. That's why they don't fall prey to that. Because in the book of Genesis, it's very clear. But when a lady allows a man to do that, she, at the DNA level, forms an attachment with that man. He is her cover. He is her leader. He is her protector. He is her provider. And he will raise the children as the man of the house. Those things all come into play. So when you're out there performing casual sex, as the Jew wants you to do, that's what's creating all of the mental anguish and paranoia and schizophrenia and other mental illnesses amongst our people, particularly the women. I've heard people make that comment that women today are crazy. Yeah, in a way they are, because they're trying to live in a Jew-created world, which is counter to the Creator's law. You weren't made that way, ladies. You want to know why you're screwed up in the head? That's why. It's simple. That's why up until modern times, when the Jews just took total control, we used to teach the girls. You don't give yourself until it's with the man that's going to be your husband, the head of the household, the father of your children, your provider, because there's a bond there. You can look up in the scientific journals. I've done that. There's scientific reasoning behind all of this. They go down to the mitochondria level. They go down to, well, when the man's sperm enters in DNA's exchange and blah, blah, blah. If you want to go to that level, go ahead. I choose not to. That's a waste of my time. My father says, don't do it. Period. I'm good with that. He says, here's what happens. I can understand that. The Holy Spirit testifies to it. I look around the world that I see, and it testifies to the fact. That's what's happening. But people just don't want to accept it. Well, there has to be a different explanation, Dan. I want to go out and sleep with 50 different women. And the women, I want to be like a man. I want to have 50 different lovers. And then wonder why they're all effed up in the head. I got news for you. You can violate God's law. Yeah, he'll let you do it. But you're also going to suffer for it. Okay? It's like sticking your finger in the fire. Mom and Dad said, don't put your finger in that burner. One day when they're not looking, I'm going to see what happens. Yeah, what happens? Now you got a great big old blister on the end of your finger. It hurts like hell. Why? Because you just simply didn't listen. Now look at our society. You want to talk about screwed up, dysfunctional families. Because we don't do anything the way he says to do it. We don't chaperone anymore. We don't court one another before you jump into the sack to find out if you're compatible or not. We don't do any of those things. A couple generations ago we did. But we threw all that away because the Talmudic Jew came along and said, do you really want to do that? Does it sound familiar? Like Genesis with the conversation with Eve? Do you really think he meant that? Oh, that sounds pretty harsh. You can be a god unto yourself. Make your own rules. It feels good. Come on. Oh, by the way, here's my card. I'm the local porn producer. I'd like to have you in my film. I'll make you rich and famous. Of course, I'll get you high on drugs, and then you'll be passed around like a dish towel amongst the men. But don't worry about that. You'll be famous. You'll be on film. Well, the hook-nosed Jew laughs all the way back at all the women that either get into his movies or his porn. And I've had people say, well, Dan, it's not all Jews. Well, go look at who created pornography and who the biggest producers of the smut films and the smut magazines are, like Larry Flint. They're all Jews. Howard Hughes. Jews! Every one of them Jews. But I digress. So again, we are at a crossroads. I'm telling you, you've only got weeks, folks, weeks to make your mind up. Some people say, well, Dan, they're going to use the military to force the vaccines. I'm not worried about that. I don't worry about any of that. That's fear porn. Who benefits from us always being afraid? The Jew does. Remember what fear stands for? F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. False evidence appearing real. Do we have a military that would do anything they're told? Some will. Is there a vaccine that they want to put in you that will change your DNA and contaminate you for the rest of your life? Yeah, they've had it for years. They're not just now developing it. They've had it sitting on the shelf for years. Would they love to inject every single one of us? Sure as hell would. Are they going to get away with it? I don't think so. They're not going to get away with it with me, because I'll be dead. Either they'll be dead or I'll be dead, but somebody's going to die. That's my own personal choice. I don't care if anybody's with me or not. I don't care if I got a militia or a sheriff or a police officer or a military guy. I could care less. It's a personal choice. Because I got news for you. We all die. It's part of life. Or as Mel Gibson said in the movie Braveheart, every man dies, but not every man lives. When you live in the fear realm, you're not living. That's why the book says, if you're willing to give up your life, you gain your life. That's the scripture. For years, I wondered, what the hell does that mean? Now I understand what it means. If you worship this life to where you will lay down and do what the enemy tells you, as in putting that needle in your arm, you're already dead. Because all they have to do is threaten your life, and they've got you. They can push you around and make you do anything. That's why Christ said, give up your life, and you'll gain it. Give up worshiping your life. You can't keep it anyway. We're all going to die. It's what happens after that matters. And the enemy wants you to think like them, because the Jews have no hereafter. A good friend of mine who was a Southern Baptist, he ran for state government several times. He knows people like Jeff Sessions. His family, his mother, got talking to him one day, and she called him up and said, wow, I was just listening to this rabbi, and they don't believe in a hereafter. And he looked at his mother, he said, I've been trying to tell you that for years. You didn't listen to me. No, they don't. They know this is it for them. That's why they want hell on earth. They're devils. They don't want Yahweh's kingdom on this earth, because this is their only shot. They want all of this hideous, abnormal behavior, because this is their only heaven. That's why they'll do almost unbelievable things like adrenochrome and all of this to try to stay alive, because they don't have anything after death. They'll do anything, including drinking your child's blood or sacrificing your child to the devil to gain a little bit more time. An Israelite could care less. A true Israelite. Is it making any sense to you? Don't worship your life, folks. Then the decision making becomes a hell of a lot easier. It has for me. If they come and want to stick me with that damn vaccine, well, I've made up my mind what I'm going to do. And if it costs me my life, I really don't care. I'm only here by the grace of God to begin with. I had nothing to do with me being here, and neither did you. You had nothing to do with it. Think about that for just a second. You're here right now in this world, breathing this air, seeing the sights, experiencing what you're experiencing, and you had nothing to do with it. But you're here. Can you explain it? Do you understand what happened to produce you? No, of course you don't. You don't have a clue, but you're here. That's the reality of it. The same thing goes with what happens when you leave here. When the body dies and the spirit is set free, you don't have a clue. But your spirit will leave your body. That's been proven scientifically, by the way, for you doubters out there, you naysayers, who try to think that atheism or believing that this world is all you've got, science has actually shown evidence of the spirit leaving the body. How about the people that have had near-death experiences? I know 9 people now, personal friends, who have been through the near-death experience. It's kind of funny. They all tell a very, very similar story. There's a book called Journey of Souls out there where a doctor takes people into hypnotherapy into a regressive state of being to where they go back into their past lives and into the spiritual realm when they've had near-death experiences. Very interesting reading. Not saying it's 100% true. Doesn't have to be. I don't really care. The Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. The scriptures testify to the truth. That's good enough for me. I don't need scientific proof. I'm here. And I believe every single one of you is here for a purpose. He said, my elect will be my avant-garde. They will be the Marines of my end times army. You've been chosen. Remember, he chooses us. It's not the other way around. That's why we're called the Ecclesia. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? I was blessed to make an acquaintance named John from Florida, who lives half the year in Greece and half the year in Florida. And he gives me a lot of insight on the Greek meanings of words, because many of them mean exactly today what they meant 2,000 years ago. Ecclesia. The called out ones. And one day I was asking him about that, and he said, it's the same as if you stood in a crowd at a football stadium and you were trying to get your friend's attention and he's many yards away and you're standing there with your hands cupped around your mouth and you're screaming so that he can hear you above the crowd. That's what Ecclesia is talking about. The called out ones. We use the word saints. They go back to the letters of Paul and about you choosing him and all this other stuff. As if you are what's important. Instead of our Savior. Okay, give me just a second here. I got to make sure I'm still connected. Angel or somebody, if you could, let me know if my mic is still hot, because all of a sudden my board has gone silent here. Okay, there it is. All right, very good. Sorry about that. The software that I'm using glitches out and becomes somewhat... very slow to respond. So wouldn't it be neat if we actually had like $1 million studios like the Antichrist have, like Alex Jones and all the other semi-truth tellers. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that kind of resources so that we could do professional jobs? Okay, I want to hold on a minute here. I want to check something. Let's see here. All right, I'm trying to find. Oh, there it is. Okay, hold on a second here. Again, one-man show trying to ascertain where we're at here by some of my listeners who keep me posted on what's going on. Also, what our live audience numbers are like. We've actually picked up quite a bit here, folks. I think it's indicative of the sign of the times. Okay, very good. So, all right, now we're back. I just don't know how to stress it more adamantly of where we're at this time. You know, I know a lot of guys like to joke around. Some people want to get caught up in the hopium that somehow that we can just all go back to sleep, go back to our comfy chairs, watch our abominable televisions or whatever, but I don't know how else to stress this to you. That world is ending. It's never going to go back, folks. We are at a crossroads. There's two ways in front of us. The Jewish communist hell on earth version or Yahweh's kingdom. That's the only two choices you have. So all these people, these Trump people, and we need to elect Trump. We need to get back to the Constitution. Well, like I said, you've had a Constitution for a long time, and they've been ignoring it for a long time, and you were quite okay with it. You sat in your homes when people's rights were taken from them for the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. You sat in your homes while cops were breaking doors in and they killed innocent people. You had no problem with it. They've had people taken into jail and their car absconded with over paperwork. You had no problem with it. Men taken to jail simply because they carried a protective device called a gun, which is our biblical right. You were okay with it. When they said a baby's just a clump of cells, which comes out of the Talmud, by the way, and it's okay to rip it out of there and butcher it, you're okay with it. So the Constitution doesn't do a damn bit of good for a bunch of lazy ignoramuses and apathetic fools, which is what the average American is. Doesn't have to be, but they chose to be. So if you want to hang on to your constitutional government, go ahead and see where you're at 10 years from now, if we don't lose everything right now, which we're on the verge of doing that. And again, they keep pointing the finger at China, but you need to see the figures behind the Chinese, which is the nefarious Jew. The same people behind all the espionage garbage going on, the porn industry, the drugs, the machinations of like FBI, CIA. Every time, Jewish names and Jewish faces are there. And when they try to hide, like Pelosi tries to say she's Catholic, well, you could be a Buddhist. You could be a Hindu. You're still a Jew. We're talking racial Jews because most Jews that even practice Judaism only do it half-assed because they're devil worshipers. They go through the motions of Judaism just to make it look like a religion when it's actually just a bunch of sick sons of bitches that are devil worshipers. All right? They're going to do whatever they want. That's how they were born for it. It's in their DNA. People say, well, why do the Jews do all these things? Why do scorpions do what they do? It's what they were designed to do. The Father said that you're responsible for all the innocent blood shed from Zechariah to the temple, from Abel to Zechariah, okay, in front of the temple. I didn't say that. Christ said that. But you have a hard time believing it, don't you? Because you want to believe they're okay. Because I've met a lot of white people. Well, I've made a lot of money with Jews, Dan. Okay, you did, huh? And this one particular guy who made millions of dollars, and of course the Jews made tens of millions of dollars on his labor. I said, so you used your Adamic creative ability to produce this, this, and this, and they let you keep 10% of the profits while they took 90%, and you think that's a good thing. Interesting. Your way of looking at things is very interesting. How is that a good thing? It was your creative ability, your labor, your talent, your efforts, your organizational ability, and they took 90% of the profit, allowed you to keep 10%. And you think that's a good thing. You see how our people have been misled and how we're screwed up in our thinking? I just saw where the feds, federal government, Federal Reserve, are now saying that they admit to $23 trillion, with a T, dollars of improper payments. Where have we heard this before? Well, that's right. The day before 9/11, the Jew in the Defense Department talked about 2.3 or whatever trillion dollars unaccounted for. Does that escape your mental capabilities of thinking about how much money that is, especially in 2001? Okay, 2.3 trillion. That's 2.3 million million dollars. And then later on, we had another Jew in government tell us, oh, we've got 10 trillion unaccounted for. And again, the American white just sits on his ass. Keeps on sending in that tax money, keeps on filling out those forms, keeps giving his honor and obeyance to this criminal government. And now we come out with $23 trillion. Gee, I wonder where it went. Well, how about black ops? How about paying businesses to go along with a disease that doesn't exist? That's what's happening, you know, even at the county level. County health commissioners are getting a check from the government to go along with the ruse. Businesses that are not able to stay afloat because of slowdown due to the COVID, they're getting a subsistence check to keep their mouth shut. Unless, of course, it's a small mom and pop business, now they get to go under. Because what is the goal of the communists? To get rid of the middle class. You're in the middle of a communist insurgency and it's almost over. We're that close to the end. What are you going to do about it? So again, as my grandfather told me many years ago, you want to know why something's happening in the world? Follow the money. That's all you got to do. Follow the money. It'll tell you who's behind it. It'll tell you why they're behind it and what they plan on accomplishing. Because it's always about money. Communism is a way for the central banks to control mankind. Communism doesn't hate central banks. Communism, being Jewish, was created by the central bankers. But again, they don't want to appear to be in control in case you might come in with your pitchforks and your hanging rope. So they blame, quote, the communists, as in Xi Jinping and China. Well, who do you think funds Xi Jinping and the Communist Chinese Party? Who do you think? Take a look at those people on the stand. Do you think they're actually the brains behind international communism? Are you kidding me? The Chinese couldn't even feed themselves if it wasn't for Western money and technology. That's a fact. Because that's where they were before we, including the Jew, intervened, because that's the new America for them. They're going to operate out of China because they've almost sucked every ounce of blood out of us, financial blood and otherwise. And the American people, finally, some American people are waking up to the Jew here. We're in China with the totalitarian government already established. They don't have to worry about it so much. They can sit in the background, and the Chinese, like Xi Jinping, they'll do what they're told. If you think for 1 minute he actually controls China, you're dumber than a box of rocks. The Chinese do whatever the Jew tells them to do. Again, it's plain as the nose on your face. You got two paths in front of you. You're at the crossroads. You're at it. It's not up ahead. You're at it right now. Choose which way to go. But before you make that choice, do one thing for me. Shut the goddamn television off, please. Shut off the rectangular black boxes that screw up your ability to think. Shut them off. That's the source of the propaganda, straight from the mind of a Jew into your household and your brain. Shut them off. And then go to a quiet place and talk to the Father and ask for his help. Ask for his forgiveness first, for being an ignoramus, for being a doubter, for being lazy, for being complicit, for being complacent. And then, in meekness, ask him through the Holy Spirit for guidance. Then make your decision what you're going to do. Like I said, I've made mine. I'm comfortable with it. Again, if it costs me my life, okay. Cost me my life. It's not my life anyway. I didn't create me. You didn't create you. He did. He did. And I'm going to tell you something else. You don't have to read very many books. And I've read thousands. But you don't have to read very many books to make it painfully clear that we're here by intelligent design. Even the stubborn assholes in academia, who are some of the most pompous asses ever created, are now admitting the only thing that explains us being here is intelligent design. Notice they won't say Yahweh God. They can't bring themselves to admit that there's a, quote, creator. So they'll say it's intelligent design. That way they can keep the facade of being these academics and not religious or of faith. Hey, whatever floats your boat. The point of it is, even academia is now admitting the only thing that explains what's going on is intelligent design. Yahweh has said more than once that he will not honor anybody who's not a truth seeker. Nobody. So I would say then that means that you should be a truth seeker. In fact, you should want the truth so bad that you can't stand not having it. The last program, we read the letter by Doug McIntosh, the Scotsman, talking about why he felt a military coup was the only answer to the current condition. Lots of people are now mouthing that very same thing. At this time, forget the current government situation. It's broke. It's been broke. At least now some people are realizing it. Forget the Constitution. We started out with the Articles of Confederation anyway. There's a reason for that. And there's a reason why the Founding Fathers did not like the idea of a Constitution. Because it leads you into a strong central government. Our Founding Fathers did not believe in strong central government. They believed in sovereign states working together. They believed that if you had an armed conflict, you get the militia from the several states together to go fight your war. And then they go home. Standing armies are a bane to all civilized nations. Because what do armies want to do? Stay in power, keep their budgets. So they'll find reasons for war. That's why Father said no. You want to end wars? Here's a couple common sense solutions. Under our current system, you go into Washington, D.C., and you go into the Senate, you go into the House of Representatives, and you tell them all to draw straws. And one-third of you are going to go to the front lines of any conflict. Then you go to the Pentagon amongst all the admirals and generals and staff officers, and you tell them the same things. Draw straws, guys, because one-third of you are going to the front. And you make sure it's completely random. No cheating. No favoritism. No look the other way because some Jew put some money in somebody's pocket. No, no, no. 100% honest. Draw straws, admirals. Draw straws, generals, because you're going to the front lines. Just like it was in the days of old. When Israelite kings led the armies into battle, you lead from out in front, not from behind. You want to see wars come to an end? That's all you got to do is implement the one-third rule. One-third of the people who are going to benefit financially from this get to go to the war. Oh, that's the other thing. Every one of you contractors with the Pentagon, if you got a contract with the Pentagon or the government, one-third of you, your CEOs and your board of directors, one-third of you, your name goes into the hat too, and you get to put on a uniform and boots and carry a rifle and go to the front. You want to see war come to an end, that'll end it very quickly. Just take the sons of bitches that benefit from it financially and otherwise and put them out in the front lines. Let them do some of the dying and the bleeding instead of our boys and girls in uniform. I'm going to end it with, again, Malachi chapter 4. If anybody has a comment or question, now would be the time to put it into the queue. But I'm going to read Malachi chapter 4. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. If I can get the software to work here. Hold on. Adam, can you hear me? Oh, hold on a minute. Damn it.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Just a quick comment. Something you reminded me of. My dad was a L.A. City fireman for something like 8 years. And as a kid, I always admired that job. And he's always hyped it up as well. But there's something in me that never could accept that pursuit. And I think it has just all to do with financial incentives. I think that when you financially incentivize something, it perhaps fundamentally destroys it. And so, as my example, when you look at a fire department, I'm in California, fires are regular here, but firefighters spend a lot of time doing absolutely nothing and getting paid well to do it. And lately, since all this virus hype has been going on, their activities are drastically increased. They're not fighting fires. They're running around with the AMR emergency response unit behind them, going, I assume, to check out COVID concerns. That's what I think is going on. I don't really know, but anyway, you just reminded me of that. There's something wrong with having the badge and the suit and the department just sitting around almost like they're hoping for a fire. And I know a lot of them are. I've talked to them about it. It seems to me like when systems get that big and bloated, they become corruptible, when really what we should be having are local neighborhood captains and alert response units that are called upon as needed. They shouldn't just be sitting around kind of hoping for something and getting paid a lot of money to do that.
Right. Yeah. Well, once again, let's look at the Amish. Amish don't have insurance. Amish don't have fire departments for the most part. And they've been able to live in quite peacefully for a very long time. And as I think it was Benjamin Franklin and my ancestors used to tell me all the time, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we didn't have insurance companies and fire departments, people would be a lot more careful about where they build fires and smoking in their homes and things like that. But now it's, insurance will take care of it. I'll just call a fire department. It's a little bit like our health. That's why I don't have health insurance, okay? Because that gave me incentive to take better care of myself. Whereas other people, and I know plenty of people, friends and relatives to boot, oh, I'll just go to the doctor, or I'll just go to the hospital, and I've got insurance. It's free. I said, nothing in this world's free. Nothing. I said, all the premium payers to that insurance company, and the insurance company, by the way, is some of the richest companies in America. I said, the rate payers, the people paying premiums into that company, into that insurance company, they're paying for your procedure, and they're paying dearly for that procedure. So saying it's free is ludicrous. Maybe you didn't pay $200,000 for that chemotherapy, but all the people that pay the premiums did. So yeah. It's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, I think the same could be said even for hospitals and doctors. They're again, it's that money thing. I don't know how much we really. We need to have full-time medical doctors and their whole staff, again, kind of hoping that people get sick. I just think it's a perversion.
Right. Well, when I was a boy living on the farm, doctors made house calls.
Yeah.
Because they had time. Nobody called a doctor unless it was really serious. We had what we called the... not wives' tales, but home remedies. We had old-fashioned home remedies for almost anything that would happen to you on the farm. So there was very few times that the doctor ever got called, and he would drive out to the farm.
And you probably knew that doctor quite well because he was in your community.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was on a first-name basis. Right. So, again, within my lifetime, that's how far we've gone. We've become idol worshipers. We worship people in lab coats as if they're gods and they know better than we know. Well, I got news for them. I grew up knowing what the hell is good and bad. And what I see today is ugly. And I've never worshipped doctors. And I've got a lot of them pissed off at me because I don't accept anything they say as gospel, ever. I said, I told a chief surgeon this one time, I said, you know what, pal? I said, I consider you no different than the local mechanic I take my car to. And he's ANSI certified. I said, so he's been certified by the automotive industry to be a certified mechanic. I said, but I don't trust him either. So if he wants to do something to my car, if I like it or it makes sense, I tell them it's okay. And if it isn't, I said, no way. Well, you're no different, Doc. You got a piece of paper that some organization says you know what you're talking about, but I am the final decider of what you're going to do for my son, my family, or me. And when you spew nonsense, we're not going to do it. And I got talking to him about the lymphatic system. He acknowledged it exists, but he didn't know any of the details. One of the most important systems in the human body, and he relegated it to like nothing. That's where they don't teach him anything about nutrition, about the lymphatic system, and about preventative medicine. They don't know shit about any of those things. It's all about the money. Push the drugs and about the money.
I've had personally several examples that line up with that. Two broken bones, for example, sitting there with a doctor looking at x-rays, and he's, oh, you just bruised it. And I go, what's that? And then they put their spectacle on, look closer, like, oh, yeah, that's a hairline fracture. I mean, it's a high percentage when you actually break it down, at least in my experience.
Yeah. Yep. Well, anything else, Adam?
No, that's it. Thanks for the airtime and the show.
All right. Very good. Yahweh bless, bud.
Yahweh bless.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to go ahead and read Malachi 4, and then we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. But I keep talking about this chapter of Malachi for a reason. Some people have figured it out. It says a lot. It's a very short chapter. I wish people would really read this and go to their prayer closet and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. For behold, the day comes. It burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. And again, if you don't know what stubble is, it's what's left in a hayfield after you've raked the hay and baled the hay. It's that highly flammable, some people call it straw, but it's the remnants of the hay all dried out in the fields. That's stubble. So all the proud and those who work wickedness will be this stubble. And the day of Yahweh will burn as a furnace. So guess what happens to stubble when there's fire? Consumed completely. And the day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. Now, we've talked about this. That's a biblical way of saying utterly destroyed, including their offspring, their families. That's what root nor branch means. But to you who fear my name shall the sun, and that sun is S-U-N, the sun of righteousness arise with healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. And again, who's he talking about that's going to have this healing in its wings and receive this healing from on high and jumping around like young calves in the stall, which I have seen. And it's true, they do. They jump around all over the place. It's those who fear his name. Fear, reverence, worship. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of armies. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, even statutes and ordinances? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the anthropos, the white men, to their brethren, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Hallelujah. Again, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that verse and wants you to know that chapter of Malachi because it's very, 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 very important for these latter days. And I'm just hoping and praying that people will take it very seriously because we are in the latter days. And we are at that crossroad. We're at it. It's not dead ahead. It's not down the road. You are standing at the crossroads right now. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that you would give us all your Holy Spirit to wake us up, those that sleep. For those that are awake and trying to do good, give us strength and discernment and courage that we would do the right things for the right reason, irregardless of consequences. Help us to pray for those who need help. Help your leaders to be strong and not teach error, but to teach your truths and nothing but your truths. And most of all, Father Yahweh, this is your world. This is your kingdom. This is your plan that's being played out. And at some point, Father, you're to sit upon the throne. We pray that that would be very soon. Just end this whole nonsensical thing of being governed by men. They are corruptible, they're evil, they're wicked. You are the only one qualified to sit on that throne. And we just pray you would come back quickly and institute that law and have us, your servants, go forth as Psalm 149 so clearly says, that we have the honor of bringing righteous judgments upon the wicked. We pray for that to be soon. We ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings. And always we ask that you would protect us, as Psalm 91 clearly states, from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.